Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to the political cesspool. Alexander, and yours truly, James Edwards, here with you once again live in studio in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station, going out of AM/FM affiliate stations, also of the Liberty News Radio Network around the country and around the world. We broadcast simulcast online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertyroundtable.com. A very busy morning for me, at least, here in the cesspool. I was up a little bit past midnight last night working on the blog, getting some articles ready to post next week, and I sent out the email blast promoting tonight's show to the email list before I went to bed early this morning around 1 o'clock in the a.m. And then when I got up at 8, I noticed just countless emails saying that the website was not working and that the links were going to dead pages and that no one could access the articles on our blog. And sure enough, I confirmed that, and I hastily and frantically called our webmaster and got them on the case. And what had happened is that so many people have been visiting the blog in recent weeks that we ran out of memory, ran out of bandwidth. And this is a problem that had afflicted Sam Bushman, owner of the network, for his website. And this is a good problem to have. We did get the issue rectified by about noon today, so everything on the website now is back in working order. But folks, the cesspool continues to grow. We continue to reach a wider and growing audience, and for that we are very, very happy. And it comes at a good time that we have this problem with the memory and the bandwidth of the website. Of course, that costs money to get more of it. And we have just launched, as of, I think, 2 days ago, the third quarter fundraising appeal for the show. And we'll be talking about that more in the second hour. But other than that, and that is, of course, a good problem to have, I have been doing something I want to share with you and with Keith. You know, we're all family here. So I have a daughter. She's 2.5 years old, and she's just now gotten to the age where she can watch a movie from reel to reel without losing focus, without getting distracted. And so I have been immersing her in the Disney classics. And over the course of the last week, she and my wife and I have watched, in order, in their entirety, Keith, Cinderella, Dumbo, and Sleeping Beauty. Now, you noticed I said the Disney classics, so that doesn't include any movie made in recent years out of that studio. So Cinderella, Dumbo, and Sleeping Beauty. And, of course, I grew up on Disney movies. I love Disney World. I maintained an annual pass there for years and years and years. Walt Disney, a true genius, one of the few legitimate American heroes we had in the 20th century. But I'm 32 years old now, so it's been, you know, maybe 25 years since I watched some of these movies from start to finish. And so watching them again has just been as enjoyable for me as it was for her. And there's one thing you notice, Keith, and I know we've talked about this before, talking about these movies, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty in particular. You compare and contrast that to what we see in real life in this day and age. We're going to be talking about a story here in just a moment about this lesbian general. A lesbian has risen to the rank of Brigadier General in the United States Army. And they call that progress. Well, compare that to the movies that Disney made, movies in which the men are masculine. They're hunters. They're warriors. They're princes in the case of Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. In Sleeping Beauty, right before Prince Philip went to do battle with Maleficent, who's the villain in that movie, they say that truth and valor will always triumph over evil. The villains in these movies are not heterosexual males. In fact, they're women. The evil stepmother, the wicked Queen Maleficent. The men in this are the heroes. They are manly heroes. They're not effeminate homosexuals, as they may be portrayed now. You know, now you got comic book heroes as homosexuals.
And, of course, they're white.
Yeah, they're white. Yeah, you know, they're not heterosexual white male villains. They're heterosexual white male heroes. And the women in this, they are feminine. They do their duties with a smile on their face. They wait for true love. They're not bull lesbians wearing combat boots leading the troops into battle. you watch these and it just, you compare how far we've fallen from the 40s and 50s when these movies were coming out and Walt Disney was the head of major Hollywood studios to today. It's bittersweet.
James, I am very heartened to hear that you're cranking out these old Disney movies. I've given James tons of these movies through the years on old VHS format tapes so that he and his family can watch them, because I knew he had a daughter and I knew that sooner or later she'd be watching it. Of course, the granddaddy of them all, probably the best role model movie for a young girl growing up, in my opinion, is Snow White. There, the pure, chaste, virginal Snow White is a queen herself, but she is forced to be a chambermaid for the queen, the wicked queen, who is a total narcissist. Remember what she says, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And she shows that real royalty expresses itself through serving other people, particularly as a housekeeper and a housewife. That's what essentially Snow White does when she has to escape the evil queen's effort to have her killed because Prince Charming has fallen for her. She takes up with the seven dwarfs who are miners who live in a little man cave out in the forest, and she sets right to work cleaning the place, making everything orderly, spick and span, preparing meals for them. Remember the song Whistle While You Work? This is what the old Disney did, which is never done today, particularly by the new Disney. Instead, in the new Disney, the big narcissist is the heroine, like the Little Mermaid. She doesn't work. She doesn't do anything except primp and try to be a man trap. That's the difference between then and now. Now, let me give all of you people out there listening the benefit of what I know about the old Disney. Basically, the old Disney movies, particularly in the 40s and 50s, tended to be great. All the Bobby Driscoll movies, when Bobby Driscoll was the main male protagonist, those movies were wonderful, starting with Song of the South, with Luanna Patton as the female child lead. Then they made a follow-up to that, So Dear to My Heart. These movies are wonderful because they combine cartoon with regular movie. You have a cartoon interlude, then a regular movie, back and forth like that. That's great. Then you had Peter Pan, which Bobby Driscoll did, was Robocop for the movements of Peter Pan. Then you had Treasure Island with Bobby Driscoll. That was a great movie with Robert Newton as Long John Silver. Great movie. Great English Shakespearean actors in it. Then Kidnapped was another one that Disney did with James MacArthur. Old Yeller, I think, was the best of the old, the last of the good old movies that he made. But all of those ones that I mentioned and Snow White are absolutely excellent. I recommend it to any parent.
And let's not forget the admiration that Walt Disney had for Davy Crockett, one of the great American heroes. We're going to take a break. I did not even intend, Keith, to talk about any of this at the show at all, but I've been so moved by watching these movies again through my eyes as an adult and through her eyes as a child, and these are just the best movies. And they say that the path we've taken since those days has been progress. Well, it's been anything but. We'll be right back. We're going to talk more about this.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, you know it's live radio. About 3 days ago, Keith and I got together for our customary midweek lunch where we chart the course for the program. At no point during the agenda that we laid out was talking about old Disney movies part of it, but this is it. We're unrehearsed, we're unscripted, we're unchained. And I want to say one thing. You know, we're talking about the movies. Keith wants to bring up a couple of other classic Disney movies. Again, and compare and contrast that culture with that of today. Dumbo. You know, Dumbo was a movie in which it really shows Walt Disney's traditional American values and his conservatism. Critics have written that Dumbo represents the innocence of the heartland where Disney himself grew up, and the story reflects how this innocence came under fire at that time by political forces abroad and subversive elements at home. The ringmaster is portrayed, his character is to be portrayed as the Jewish moguls of Hollywood that were trying to run Disney out of town. And you know, they've got a crow, you know, there's black crows in the film that harass Dumbo from the fringe, and one of the crows' name is Jim Crow. So I mean, you can imagine where that's going. And Disney himself said in an interview that the 1900s were not the century of the common man, as Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, and of course his liberalism was something that Walt Disney opposed. He said that the 19th century was the century of, and this is Walt Disney's words, direct quote, the Jew, the Union cutthroat, the homosexual, and the whore. So, you know, you go from a man who just even had those beliefs that would not be a good thing, that homosexuality and promiscuity were not things to be idolized as they are now. Again, that's supposed to be progress, and his movies certainly represented the wholesome values that we've been talking about that I think America would be good to revisit.
James, I think what you're trying to say, the 20th century is the century of the Jew. The labor leader, and all of these other negative things that Disney meant. The 1900s, 1930, for example, is in the 20th century. In other words, the, you know, 19, that's it. Okay, so that's important to know. Let's go over some more. There's nothing that I can think of more important for a young, for parents, new parents, to do than to make sure that the television does not become a open sewer line into their home to pervert their children and to mold them into the you know, self-hating whites that the left apparently wants them to become. You can do this by basically not being hooked up to the TV, but having a VHS or a DVD player and getting the right old movies to watch. Let me give you some examples. Disney is a perfect thing. You can't go wrong, basically, with Disney if you go to any Disney movie that was made before Walt Disney's death in 1966. Now, let's go through some. Snow White is probably the capstone. He put that in every language because it was his gift to the world. And every nation, Russia, from Britain, France, Italy, Brazil, you name it, Finland, Sweden, he put that film in those languages. And it was an incredible success. Now, we've talked about Snow White. We've talked about Song of the South, which I think is probably, very arguably, his best movie. And I'm not saying that because I'm a Southerner. If you look at that storyline, if you look at the quality of the animation, if you look at the character development of the characters and that, that is just about a perfect movie. So Dear to My Heart is of a falling off somewhat, but it's still a great tale from the American heartland of a boy growing up with his grandmother in Indiana on a farm who raises a black sheep to put in a county fair, and he wins a prize and whatnot. It's somewhat reminiscent of State Fair. Bambi was a great movie. That movie, I think, was one, it was either that or Dumbo that was, had to be a winner, or else the Jewish moguls had, you know, set Walt Disney and Disney Studios up for bankruptcy. But thank goodness that didn't happen. It didn't happen because of the success of his animated features. He started out with all animated features, then he blended animation with a regular movie. That would be Song of the South, So Dear to My Heart, a few others that he did. And then he got back into regular movies like Treasure Island, like Kidnapped. And then he went to another all cartoon animated format with Peter Pan. Then we had Old Yeller. Then we had Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. And these were basically spinoffs from the TV series, the Disney TV series in the 50s, which was great. The Crockett movies, Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier, and Davy Crockett and the River Pirates, were great. Then you had Zorro, the great Zorro series, which was in just unbelievably popular in South America, particularly Argentina. Guy Williams, the star of that series, was, you know, a hero, a national hero in Argentina. They loved him down there, and he basically retired there later in life because he was in such demand. And then you started to get things like Pollyanna and whatnot, which were not quite up to par in the 60s. Old Yeller was a great movie. I remember watching it going across the Atlantic to visit my English relatives on the Queen Elizabeth II in the little movie theater that they had on the ocean liner when I was a child. So this is all of those movies that we're mentioning there are ones I can heartily recommend for parents to show their children. Let me give you some other movies. There's a movie with Bobby Driscoll, not made by Disney, called The Window. It is the original script from which Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window was derived. It is an excellent, excellent movie, and Bobby Driscoll got a special Academy Award for it, just like James Baskett, who plays Uncle Remus in Song of the South, got a special Academy Award for his performance. He died shortly after Song of the South was released. Then we have movies like Charles Laughton's Captain Kidd, hardly ever watched now. Really good performances by him and by a number of other great English actors in that, and Randolph Scott. Then The Body Snatcher, starring Boris Karloff and Henry Danielle. Now that is a real thinking man's or woman's horror movie. Really wonderfully done in 1945. Then we have movies like Out of the Past with Robert Mitchum in the early 40s. There are a lot of film noirs that are really good, but you need to watch. We're going to put out a list probably sometime around Christmas to help you with your Christmas buying about what type of movies to have in your own home personal library, and lend these to other people that are friends of yours so their children can watch good TV. Get them over and do that rather than watching this Salute Your Shorts and stuff like this that kids are watching nowadays, this Nickelodeon dreck, as the Sons of Israel would call them. Let's get some really top-notch entertainment and the modeling of appropriate male and female behavior for our children to watch.
We're coming up on another break, Keith. Well, we went from not talking about Disney movies to talking about it for the first half hour of the show. But you know what? It was time well spent. When we come back, once again, we're going to compare and contrast that with what's being celebrated today as good and decent behavior. And we're going to come up with a quote from Mel Gibson's dad, a good friend of ours, made several appearances on this show, what he has to say about tolerance. Tolerance. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CofCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. To come to a point, the Disney movies of the 30s, 40s, 50s, Cinderella, Dumbo, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, they really represented the values of traditional Americans at that time. And the political cesspool audience of today, I mean, we're basically an extension of the traditional paleoconservatives that, you know, preceded us. And you fast forward from the days during which values like chivalry and romance, masculinity in males, femininity in women, that these things were valued. Now you go to today, and what's being celebrated? Of course, you're backwards if you believe that the old ways were true and righteous. Today, you are a progressive if you believe that it should be celebrated that we have here what was being lauded in the New York Times. A lesbian has risen to the rank of Brigadier General in the U.S. Army. She is the first homosexual to rise to flag rank in the history of the United States military. And this is something that we are supposed to celebrate. We're supposed to look at that and say, oh, good, more progress. This is progress here. How disgusting, how vile. From General George Washington to General Tammy Smith, this is how far the mighty have fallen. You can go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, click on the link entitled Woman Becomes First Openly Lesbian General in U.S. Army. You'll see, you look at these two women, if you can call them that. They look like men. They truly do. You're supposed to admire them. You're supposed to take orders from them. This is a perversion. It's despicable. It's contemptible. But this is modern day America. And this, you know, kind of perverted nonsense will only hasten the ultimate demise of America if we continue on our present course. But they demand that we be tolerant of such
aberration.
Yeah, what Keith said over there. that we'd be tolerant of this abhorrent behavior. But what is tolerance? Mel Gibson's father, Hutton Gibson, he has been on this radio program a handful of times. He's a very good friend of ours. He's 93 years old. He came on one time, and it was picked up by hundreds of newspapers, late-night comedy skits, you name it, made worldwide news. Entertainment Tonight called to have me on the show as a result of one of our interviews with Hutton Gibson. Well, what is he has a great quote about tolerance that he actually said on this radio program, and it's perfectly applicable here with regards to the story about the lesbian general. They demand that we be tolerant of things like this, but of course, they offer us no tolerance in return. They do not tolerate our traditional values and our traditional morals. But here's what tolerance is, according to Hutton Gibson, father of Academy Award-winning director Mel Gibson. Tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society. When an immoral society has blatantly and proudly violated all of the commandments, it insists upon one last virtue, tolerance for its immorality. It will not tolerate condemnation of its perversions. It creates a whole new world in which only the intolerant critic of intolerable evil is evil. Let me reread that last sentence. It creates a whole new world, tolerance does, in which only the intolerant critic of intolerable evil is evil. Hutton Gibson is not the only man to draw those conclusions about what tolerance means when applied by the immoral. G.K. Chesterton said tolerance is the last virtue of men who no longer believe in anything. And even Aristotle said Tolerance and apathy are the last virtues of a dying society. Remember these quotes, ladies and gentlemen, and let them be the arrows in your quiver when you go into the battle in the court of public opinion on these issues. That's what they demand for themselves. They offer us none in return, but that is the best definition of tolerance I've ever heard of. And Keith, I know you've got a follow-up story with regards to this just insane. I mean, who would have thought? Walt Disney could have never foreseen an America during which, you know, men like Prince Charming are seen as odd. Women like Princess Aurora and Snow White are seen as everything a woman should not be, rather than everything a woman should be. He couldn't have foreseen the day that we had lesbian generals. But that's just par for the course in today's affirmative action military, right, Keith?
Absolutely. And let me, while we're talking about today's affirmative action military, here's an article from the Commercial Appeal, Saturday, August 18th, 2012 edition. Report: General, wife lived it up on public's dime. A four-star general who headed the U.S. Africa Command used military vehicles to shuttle his wife shopping and to spas and billed the government for a refueling stop overnight in Bermuda, where the couple stayed in a $750 night suite, a Defense Department investigation has found. In a 99-page report, there is detailed excessive unauthorized spending and travel costs for General William Kip Ward, who just happens to be a very large black man. His picture is here in right next to what I was reading to you then, including lengthy stays at lavish hotels for Ward, his wife, and his staff members. It also said that Ward and his wife, Joyce, accepted dinner and Broadway show tickets from a government contractor during a trip on which he went backstage to meet actor Denzel Washington. Oh, my heart's trembling at that prospect. And they and several staff members spent the night at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. The report by the and that would make $750 a night suites look like chump change. Believe me, folks, if you've ever been up there to the Waldorf Astoria, or if you've gone to some of these big restaurants, legendary restaurants, like the Four Seasons in Manhattan, you have no idea what real extravagance and expense is until you've done that. The report by the Defense Department's Inspector General was obtained Friday by the Associated Press. We conclude General Ward engaged in multiple forms of misconduct related to official and unofficial travel, the report said. He conducted official travel for primarily personal reasons and misused military aircraft. It said he also misused his position and his staff's time and received reimbursement for travel expenses that far exceeded the approved daily military rate. Ward, who faces possible demotion for his activities, defended the Bermuda layover as a crew stop and blamed his staff for making the decisions to stay there rather than to fly on to the German-based Africa Command. Of course, this is typical black behavior, typical big chief mumbo-jumbo behavior, typical third world behavior. This is the type of behavior you would expect from black generalissimo in Africa like Idi Amin or Robert Mugabe. And of course, you know, a leopard can't change his spots. You can put him in America in the American military, and it's the same old leopard. This is what is now valued in the circles of elite America today. Homosexuality is not something to be rooted out, something to be avoided at all costs. Instead, it's something to be embraced. The U.S. military is bragging about having a Bull Dyke general, just like they're bragging about this black general who obviously is an example of the Peter Principle. He's been promoted to his level of incompetence, and he's behaving just like Big Chief Mumbo Jumbo, or let's put it even more explicitly, like the current president of the United States and his wife, who seem to be, view life as one lavish vacation after another on the public dime. when these people get in positions of authority with the government, I mean, money flows like, you know, liquor in a bootlegger's den back in the Prohibition days. And this is what we are supposed to be worshiping. Whatever happened to somebody like Admiral Hyman Rickover, who was the father of the nuclear navy, who said, "Why not the best?" The heads of the Navy, Admiral Gary Roughead and General Bernard Casey of the Army, the Joint Chiefs of Staff for the Navy and the Army, respectively, are basically totally sold out for affirmative action. And I'm just waiting. They're letting people with 300 on verbal and 300 in math on the SAT get into Annapolis and West Point now, and they brag about it. This is invidious racial discrimination, and we're going to pay the price for this. I'm just waiting for one of those nuclear submarines to be lost at sea, loaded with nuclear weapons, because the products of this new affirmative action Navy and Army are in charge. Heaven help us. We've got to wake up from this nightmare, and we've got to do like Admiral Hyman Rickover and promote the best and the brightest rather than the of people who are not white males.
We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned for more.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well. Or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur. Or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up 3 or 4 times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to CardioPrim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Welcome back to get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We were talking in the previous segment about, a lot of things, but it started with us talking about the woman, lesbian, who's ascended to rank of Brigadier General in the United States Army, making history, unfortunate history, in doing so. We talked about Hutton Gibson's excellent quote about progress. And one more thing about the Gibson family, you know, Hutton isn't the only Gibson that has done well for himself and makes sense from time to time. Mel Gibson's had two movies back-to-back, incredible movies. Obviously, the first being Passion of the Christ. What a great film. Mel Gibson ran into some of the same people in Hollywood that disapproved of Walt Disney's films in the making of that. But a manna literally flowed from heaven and filled Mel Gibson's coffers as Christian America turned out to support what was a great movie, Passion of the Christ. Apocalypto, though. You know, we did an article last week that offered talking points. We talked about it on the show as well, on what you should say when confronted with the classic We Took the Land from the Indians argument. In 2006, Mel Gibson directed a profound movie that provides an accurate portrayal of what life was like in the pre-Columbian Americas. It was called Apocalypto, and believe it or not, the complete two-hour film can now be viewed at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Just scroll back on the blog a couple of days, and you will find the post appropriately entitled Apocalypto. You can watch the entire two-hour and 18-minute movie. It is a good one. But anyway, Keith, I know you had some parting shots to fire. On the previous topic.
Well, since you brought up movies on the internet, we were talking about all of these great Disney movies. You'd be surprised how many of these movies are on the internet. You don't even have to hunt down DVDs or VHS tapes. You can just get a large screen computer or laptop and let your children watch these movies on that. In fact, that's a coming thing. I think that computers are going to replace television sets altogether. But we were talking during the break about, one, the lesbian brigadier general, and two, the black, high-living, live-it-up, chief mumbo-jumbo four-star general in the Army, and comparing what it takes to succeed in today's America versus what it took back when America was not a declining nation as it is now, but was in its ascendancy and was growing and dominating of economically and culturally and in every other way. And then I remember when things went wrong, and they went wrong beginning in 1954 with the Brown decision and then the civil rights movement that followed. And it's really interesting. I'm old enough where I have the historical perspective. I remember the way that the civil rights movement was sold to the American public. Basically, we were going to have a kinder, gentler America in which racial discrimination was going to end and people were going to be judged according to Martin Luther King's famous soundbite from his speech, one of his most famous speeches, that his children would be, it was his fervent wish and desire that his children would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That would suggest that there were going to be objective standards for gauging everybody, men and women, white, black, Hispanic, everybody was going to be judged based on their performance and on their intelligence. And, of course, that's the last thing that the left wants, because that would leave white males virtually in charge, unchanged from the way they were before. So now we have a world in which the content of your character is the last thing that is consulted, the last requirement to be considered when you make promotions. Instead, you look for a deviant personal lifestyle like this brigadier general homosexual woman. And then on the other hand, you're going to promote a black guy regardless of his intelligence, regardless of his virtue, regardless of his moral standing. You're going to just throw these people up, promote them far beyond their talents, and pat yourself on the back for it. This is a this is an upside-down world, and we can't continue to ignore, you know, the type of values and virtues that got America to the top of the heap without tumbling to the bottom of the heap. And liberalism will destroy this country. That's why we say, and we say it week in and week out on this radio program, liberalism is the modern face of evil. What liberalism will do is cause our nation, it will cause our military, it will cause your family, if it's embraced, to sicken and die. And it will also do that to our race.
Thank you, Keith, for that excellent commentary. One more. It's been another freewheeling and fast-paced first hour. We have time for only one more topic before we move on to what promises to be an equally busy second and third hour. I promise you that. Very busy second hour. I'm sweating just thinking about it. But I got one more story here during the first hour, and it's that acid-tongued comedian Joan Rivers has compared Costco, the wholesale grocery store, supermarket, to Nazi Germany. Basically, Joan Rivers came out with a new book. You've seen her on E! She was in the movie Spaceballs. Joan Rivers died this week.
Yeah, right. That was in the movie. She died at age 95.
No. This is somebody else.
No,
Phyllis Diller, it's Keith over here. No. I was gonna say, she looks good. She looks good for a dead person in this video that was in this news article that came out last week. Anyway, Phyllis Diller has passed away. Joan Rivers, still alive and kicking, and she's comparing Costco to Nazi Germany because they will not sell her book. And this is what she said. People have the right to have the literature they want. This is the beginning of Nazi Germany, she said in the complaint against Costco for refusing again to sell her latest book. Now, that would not be newsworthy enough to make the political cesspool in and of itself. What makes it newsworthy is that the ADL, now keep in mind that Joan Rivers is Jewish, and the ADL has condemned her for this. They have taken her to task on this because they say that in using frivolous Nazi imagery, she has trivialized the Holocaust. In other words, because she is labeling Costco as Nazis, she is doing damage to, I guess, their trademark. And that really is the only reason the ADL could be upset, is because she did not get the officially sanctioned permit from them before using one of their trademark smears, because this is the truth. The ADL makes their money and they're always quick to do it, and that is childishly issuing false accusations of Nazism upon traditional conservative activists such as myself, with whom they disagree. They get mad at Joan Rivers for comparing Costco to Nazi Germany. Who have they not compared to Nazi Germany? Who have they not compared or smeared as a Nazi? They've certainly done it to me, to many Christian conservative activists, to Pat Buchanan, you know, and you got to watch these people. The ADL is corrupt, and they are liars. They are outright liars. It is one thing to be reckless and irresponsible and say that because they disagree with me that I am a bigot or that I am a racist or a white supremacist. I certainly don't consider myself to be any of those things, and certainly not a Nazi. I consider myself to be a traditional Christian American, a traditional conservative activist. I may say things that they disagree with, but to use that kind of reckless rhetoric is beyond contempt. But they have made their living doing this to people. And so that they now frown upon Joan Rivers for doing the exact things that they have always done, but it's worse than that. It's one thing to have an opinion that flies in the face of reality, but they have also gone on record saying that I was in attendance at a Nazi rally. And we talked about this on the show last year. Well, they listed a date and time. They went a little bit overboard this time. They said I was at a Nazi rally, so-called, at a specific date and time. And I wasn't even in that state during that date and time. So they actually issued a retraction on that lie. But anyway, so we got them on that one. They certainly didn't apologize for lying about me. But anyway, basically, they're taking Joan Rivers to task for doing exactly what they have always been known to do.
Look, it's very understandable how I got Joan Rivers and Phyllis Diller mixed up. Two Jewish comedians, you know, how do you tell them apart? They're all two peas in a pod. And it's really easy just to discount what Joan Rivers said. You know, anybody that gets between a Jew and a dollar bill has got to be a Nazi. But on the other hand, when the ADL comes out after a Jewish person, you know that it must be a slow week, slow news week for them. But they're always interested in trying to patent and make people pay a royalty to them for using the word Nazi. They're the only people permitted to use that term. And, of course, the other favorite term is Hitler. You know, I'm sure that they've described James as Hitler and everyone else who has a legitimate paleo-conservative viewpoint at one point or another, James. So I would just let it roll off me like water off a duck's back. We got to consider the source. The ADL, ACLU, Jewish-dominated organizations interested in stifling free speech and converting America into a cultural Marxist horror show.
And, of course, this isn't a slam at all Jews with Jews that we find common ground. We have them on the show. We like them. We support them. We hate no one. We have nothing but love in our hearts. We want all people to prosper and to do well. But we certainly have a little bit more affinity for our own family. And that's what apparently gets us into trouble. We should feel guilt for who we are and what we've done. We should hate ourselves. And we don't subscribe to that cultural Marxist theology here in the political cesspool. We'll be back with the second hour right after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
They were jumping and shouting, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.